This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, Radio St. Pete, RadioSt.Pete.com, HMBRadio.com. I am your host, Will Koontz, host of this here program. How are you? Good day. No delay today because I got Mr. Jesse Cage, longtime Tampa Bay broadcaster, joining me today in studio.
That's it?
Yeah.
You know who set the record for cursing on the Homemade Broadcast?
Who would that be?
Mr. Chris Fisher.
Of course it was. Of course it was my boy.
I figured if I didn't have to explain it to anyone, it would be a guy who had done radio for 20 years.
Yeah.
Just blew it out of the water with F-bombs.
Do you know what the problem is? And if you go back and listen to the first Fisher and Cage podcast, it was just riddled with Fs. And I mean, I think it was 20-something years of pent-up aggression, not being able to say these words. And then all of a sudden, we're like, this is our show. F yeah, F this, F you, F everything. And it was so, can I say goddamn? Is that?
Yeah,
is that
so,
okay?
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I can say that on the radio. I can say that on the radio.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It was so goddamn liberating to just be able to say and do what we want to do after being under somebody's thumb for so long.
I would think that being with that you can't curse, that seeing the microphone in front of your face, you wouldn't automatically not do it. Because now I curse all the time
right,
in real life.
Right.
But here, whenever I have this in front of my face, now it's just automatic. I don't do it.
Well, and that's what's funny. When I was on the air, whether it was in West Palm on Mix or here on X or FLC in Miami or 98 Rock, whenever is that microphone, you're right, the microphone would be in your face and you just cut it off. You don't do it. And people would be with me. They would come into the studio. We'll be talking off the air. And I'm just, I'm a sailor. I'm just going left and right. And then as soon as that mic goes on, there was just something in my head. But now there's something in my head saying, well, F you, man. This is my microphone. I'm going to do what I want to do. And nobody can say I can't do that right now.
Yeah.
Except for you, because this is your podcast. So
yeah, I appreciate that. It's not that we can't necessarily, because it is internet radio.
Right.
But I think we're trying to prepare for our eventual transition, perhaps into the FM bandwidth.
Sure.
So we're just trying to keep it clean.
Understood.
It's a family station.
I'll say F and S.
Perfect.
And goddamn.
B-hole.
And so many B-holes.
That's one of my favorites.
Well, who doesn't like a good B-hole?
Nobody that I know, that's for sure. So, yeah, I guess you know we are recording now. And if you're just joining us, this is Jesse Germaine Cage.
Who told you my middle name?
Is that it, really?
It's the biggest secret ever. Germaine?
I just guessed that.
Yeah, I look like a Germaine, though.
It's not it. I was like, wow, that is awesome. If I really did guess that, I was going to go
right out the gate. That would have been perfect.
But Jesse has been on the air here in the Tampa Bay area for many years and now is ventured into the realm of podcasting. Mm-hmm. So tell me how that happened.
The last station I was on flipped.
That was 98.7 The Fan.
Correct, yeah. I was going back when I came to Tampa in 04... end of 03, I guess. I went to 97X for 4 years. 97X was a good time, but there was something that was promised to me when I was there that didn't come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And at the time, there was a lot of hard feelings. They were going to go in a different direction. I was going in a different direction. So I got the walking papers from X because I wasn't going to fall into line with what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And listen, man, it's business. At the time, I took it very personally because Shark and I, who was the program director over there, were really good friends. Now, full circle, 10 years later, we're friends again. You grow up and you realize business is business, and that's what happens. So then 98 Rock came a call-in. I was out of work for about 3 months, and I just sat out my non-compete, went to 98 Rock for 7 years. Contract negotiations came up. It was time for me to move on. They offered me a contract to stay at 98 Rock. It wasn't what I wanted. We went back and forth, and ultimately CBS, who owned the Fan, they called my agent and said, we want him to come over here, and we'll pay him. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever he wants, we'll pay. So they paid me 90 days to do nothing. I was making more from the Fan sitting on my couch than I ever made in radio in, wow. in 20 years. It was crazy. It was nuts. I'm just sitting there, and I'm collecting these really nice paychecks.
That's great.
Go to the Fan. Everything's good. Beasley comes in and blows the Fan out, and obviously that turned into Bubba, 98.7. And I flew around the country interviewing for different jobs, and I kept putting off committing to anything because I just didn't know. I didn't, you know, a long time, 22 years is a long time to do one thing. And I love radio. I always love radio. I love being on a microphone. I love talking and interviewing and everything that comes along with it. And the perks don't suck. But I couldn't wrap my head around leaving Tampa first off. And starting my brand, starting the Cage Cult brand all over again from scratch in a news town. And, you know, it just wasn't appealing to me. And so ran into Fisher, and me and Chris had a long conversation. He was already kind of doing the podcast thing, but just kind of feeling his way through like everybody is. And after a lot of alcohol, we hugged and said, well, let's give this a go. Mm-hmm. And we started Fisher and Cage. Now, we are fortunate that both of us have been in this market for a very long time. So we definitely came into this realm, I think, with a leg up on other people.
Definitely.
Because of our contacts, because of everybody who we've dealt with in the past, and whether that is concert promoters or sponsors. Great Bay Distributing was our very first sponsor. We hadn't even done a podcast together yet, and Great Bay, Bud Light, signed on because I had been with Bud Light for years. And if you heard any show I've done in the last 10 years, you know, proudly endorsed Bud Lights. That became this thing. And they jumped on. They're like, okay, well, we see the value in this. We see the value in you, and we trust what you're doing. So let us come along for the ride. And they just re-upped for another 6 months. So they're back on. They're excited because they see the growth and the potential of what this is. You know, when the New York Times is starting to talk about what we do as podcasters as being the next big way to advertise your brand or your company, people are buying into this now. And listen, I was a naysayer on podcasting years ago. And maybe there was ego involved in that because, you know, I was on a 100,000-watt radio station. And at the time,
I think that has a lot to do with it.
Right. Yeah. We were the big swinging dick, man. In, yeah. D. And so at that point, podcasting was just starting. I mean, just at the beginnings of it. And I was like, yeah, that'll never work. That's not going to work. And until I pushed many years forward, I started to realize how much I loved what podcasting was. Even though I was still on the air, I loved the idea of it because I created something at 98 Rock and 97X when we did the Cage Cult. It was about a community. It wasn't about just me. It wasn't just Jesse Cage. I was the ringleader because everything, you need a ringleader. You need somebody who's got the microphone. But it was always about a community. It was never about just me. I never one time went on the radio and pounded my chest. I'm Jesse Cage. Unless it was in jest, because I, you know, picked on myself more than anybody. Mm-hmm. And that's what podcasting is. Podcasting is a community. Podcasting is people actively seeking you out and wanting you in their head. We always said in radio, it's so intimate because radio goes everywhere. We're in your shower. We're in your bathroom. You're taking a dump. I'm right there with you. Your cage raging, whatever you got going on. And podcasting takes that to a whole new level, I think, because of, well, earbuds, just yeah. in particular. You are in somebody's head, and you're able to make this really great connection. And to loop back, we're lucky because we had made a lot of great connections with fans in Tampa Bay who have followed us to do this mm-hmm. and followed us into the podcasting. So, you know, long story short, and I apologize for that, there was that gradual progression where I had to learn what podcasting was and got drunk and learned more and got drunk and learned more. And here we are today. You know, we can do this. We can work for ourselves. And let's face it, that's a goal, I think, for anybody. You want to be your own boss. You answer to you.
Most definitely.
You know, if I fail at this, then I fail. That's me. It's on me. Mm-hmm. But I can't fail because this is what I have. This is my job. We talked about this on the FNK podcast today. That'll come out tomorrow, which will be yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever this comes out. Another thing I'm trying to grasp about podcasting. Wow. This is, what is today, the 13th? Hey, nobody even gives a stuff.
Jesse Cage is joining me today from the FNK podcast. What is it, FNK.com is your website?
You can do fisherandcage.com. That will be flipped to the FNK.com here in the next day or so. We own it. We just haven't rerouted yet. So
gotcha.
We're on that. So fisherandcage.com. Can't go wrong there. You can loop right in through that one way or another.
Very nice. I think what I've been curious about is these Cox, Clear Channel, these companies have to understand there's people that they pay that research to understand that podcasting is something now at this point.
Sure.
It seems like not. I don't know if they're fighting against it or they. But what is the plan for them? You've been inside radio for many years. What's going on up top there? What are they doing?
Well, you look at iHeartRadio. iHeartRadio, which was Clear Channel, now iHeartMedia. They started with their, just their app where you can listen to radio stations all over the country, you know, for all of their platforms, all their properties. Then it turned into more of a, well, let's compete with Pandora or Spotify. So you can create your own radio station type deal. Which, sidebar, it always pissed me off because I'd be on 98 Rock, and when this whole iHeart thing was taking off, it was, yeah, make sure you encourage people that can make their own radio station. Mm-hmm. Piss off. No, I'm going to encourage you to listen to me.
Yeah,
sure, you don't want this commercial? Go, yeah, absolutely. Go make your own radio station and knock yourself out. That's stupid. As a jock, I would never – it pissed me off every time. In every meeting, I'd push back on it, and they're like, well, I'll just say it once a show. No, I'm good. You're already playing commercials telling people to do it, so I'm not going to do that. Now inside iHeartMedia, you know, they're starting podcasts. They have podcasts that you can get on their app. CBS has got Play.it. So massive amount of podcasts on there from I know Taz just signed from ECW, so he's doing a gimmick for them now. A couple football players are on there, so radio sees the value in these because they can package it and push it through their massive cannons that shoot out iHeartMedia, Play.it, all these things. And I'm not slagging those things. I was pissed because I was a jock and you're telling me to send people someplace else, but they are seeing the value in this. So those are only good things for guys like us. Those are good things that these big companies are starting to see the value, and they are starting to use their platforms to push these things. Mm-hmm. Podcast One, obviously doing great things. There's ones I like that are a little bit further away from radio, like the Podcast Ones, because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. This is not just a piece of the pie for them. But recognition is good. Recognition of what we do as a brand, as podcasters is good. So man, let radio do what they do and be late to the party like radio is most of the time. And we can ride that wave, though. Let them do that. Because when they do that and they start picking up, because they're going to need content to push these podcasts, it's not just going to be guys who are in the business. They're going to have to come up with content. Mm-hmm. And so there'll be guys like us who hopefully can ride that wave. And quite frankly, it'll be nice because they've got the machine to sell. I'm dealing with my agent right now, and my agent's working with us, and I can't say any of the company names, but there's companies that we're starting to talk about dealing with. And what I love about it is they're going to help us sell. You know, you jump in someplace where they've already got everything put together. Okay, that's cool. We control the content. I'm not changing what I'm saying. And if an advertiser doesn't want to be on that, then that's okay. That we're not going to be for everybody. Your show won't be for everybody. There's things on 98 Rock. I mean, there's people wouldn't buy my show for whatever reason, and then there's people who love to buy the show. It just totally depends. So if we have a if these major companies with these majorly deep pockets want to help fund what we do, okay.
Yeah.
You know, that's the goal here, man. I want to make money and make no bones about it. I love what I do. I love interacting. I love podcasting. But this is my job.
Sure.
There's nothing else. I don't get up in the morning and go to another job. I get up and all day, all I do is plan these shows, come up with advertising, come up with gigs, whatever. You know, man, you're hustling. You're out doing the comedy thing and everything else. It's all about just making sure people know who you are.
I have a part-time job and a full-time job. And my part-time job that pays the bills is not my full-time job. This has been, I feel the same way. Like, this is what I want to do, so I'm doing it. My issue is that, like you said, you have a leg up. I'm a nobody. So nobody really knows me. So I'm thankfully, I have, you know, Radio St. Pete, you
sure.
know, worked with me, and very thankful for them to, because that kind of gave me, I think, a little bit of a leg up, having
sure.
some sort of thing behind me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but it's hard, man. It's, you know, sending emails, calling people, and I'm doing everything myself.
Yeah.
I book my shows. I do the shows. I, you know, sell the ads. I'm doing everything. But I kind of like that because I feel like I'm learning by doing. I got on-the-job training, and I could fill any role.
Absolutely.
If something ever comes across, yeah, I could do that. Sure. I've been doing it for years now.
Absolutely.
So it's you know, the learning curve's there, but learning by doing is really the only way to do it.
You're right. You're right. I think going back to the community of podcasting, I like that, you know, we've had you on our show. You've had Fisher on your show. Now I've been on your show. We have to keep doing this as a community of podcasters to network, because now your audience, who may not know who I am, has been opened up to something totally different. And the same thing when you come on us, our show. I'm fine, whatever.
it's guy stuff, man. It's just what guys do. Farts, poop.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's just funny.
Building this community and making sure your audience knows that there's other stuff out there. And we're doing the same exact thing, because you're filling an itch, we're filling an itch. That's the deal. And we've got to have each other's backs.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the good things about podcasting is, seeing as you don't have a time slot, you're not competing with somebody on another station. You
sure.
can listen to podcasts whenever you want.
Absolutely.
So you can be cooperative. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm finding stuff every day. There's new podcasts popping up. There's St. Pete 15 that I was just listening
okay.
to. I don't know who does it. I'm trying to find that out. But
right.
you had Derek Donnelly on, one of the muralists down here.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Devin
I've got
Jones.
A Donnelly in my apartment right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, James Hetfield.
Yeah,
pretty
I gotta
amazing.
Get him. I got to get him in here. He's a busy guy, man.
He
he's,
is.
Every time I reach out, he's like, yes, but I don't know when.
Right.
But, yeah, he's busy. But, yeah, so there's new stuff popping up all the time, and there's room enough in this city. It's a big market,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay area is, what, top 20 mm-hmm. in the country? Top Is it
19.
Even top 15?
19. Market size, yeah, 19.
So it's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, there's plenty of room, and that's what I really like about, you know, this podcasting thing is mm-hmm. you get to meet all these new people, and I get to talk to you. I get to talk
right.
to an artist. I get to talk
mm-hmm.
to a comedian. So it's, you know, it's fun for me. I used to play with my boombox
right.
and have the antenna, and that's what
oh, yeah.
I was like, I didn't figure this out until later that that's what I wanted to do.
Right, right.
So, and it made now with the internet, I'm just able to do it. That's why I said, oh, screw it, I'll just do it. You know, I tried to get hired at radio stations. It just, you know, I could have got an internship when I was in college, but
right.
I didn't know, you know.
Right.
So this happened all later after.
Getting into radio, if you were trying to get in the radio in the last 10 years, man, I'd have interns come in, and the first thing I would say that this is the best and worst job in the world. Great, great perks, cool. But my God, it is just, especially now trying to get in. When I started in radio, you just had to have a friend who did radio.
Mm-hmm.
I had a buddy who did radio. Dude, come on, do my show. All right, cool. So I go on and do his show. I did that for part-time for a year or 2 years, something like that. Went off to college and did the college thing for a year and a half, played Sega Genesis the entire time, decided I was wasting my money, wanted to do what I wanted to do. And that was, I was, man, I really, when was I happy? I was like, I'm happy when I'm on a microphone. And So I just popped back and did the radio thing. But still, this is 20 years ago. It was still easy at that point. Mm-hmm. Relatively easy, easier.
Was this like before the automation took place?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So they needed somebody there.
24 hours a day, man. Right. Somebody had to be in that studio. When I started, we were doing CDs, like in the carts, and then we'd have the 8-track cart machines for all the commercials. When I started editing commercials, it was all reel-to-reel, so I have slices on my thumbs because we'd have to splice everything together, and God, everything sped up so fast after that. You know, all we go from punching off every cart by itself for a commercial to all of a sudden we're daisy chained, and you would think the world had just exploded in awesomeness. We're like, I can push this button and it'll play 5 carts. And then you got to reload for the second half of the commercial set, but it was cool. 5 played back to back to back to back to back. But you had to be there because if somebody didn't set a sectone on it to kick off the next cart, you're screwed. You can go out of the bathroom and it just stops and you're dead. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, everything is computerized. Everything is computerized. So I would have interns come in and I would be like, okay, so first off, you have to be getting college credit to get in. You can't just go into a radio station anymore. That sucks because there's a lot of people who don't need to go to college. And I'm sorry, that's the reality. College is not for everybody. It's just not.
I know.
Yeah, you know.
Well, that's a good example of that, I think.
You know, that's not, you don't have to do that. But now, if you want just to get your foot in the door, you got to go to college so you have your, you know, or CSB or something, which that's all good too, man. CSB helped get me back into the business years and years and years ago. But it's just where the technology has come now, everything is just digital. And so you'll have one guy sit in a room and voice track 80 stations across the country. You know, listen to any station in Tampa right now. Less than 10% of what you're hearing is actually live. And that is a goddamn shame. Because you got these guys who are just spitting stuff out, and hey, it's you know, it's 98 Rock, blah, 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 blah. Hey, it's 97X, you know, in Sarasota. Shame. It's a shame.
Yeah.
And so I'd have these kids come in and like, I'm going to do this, and it's going to be great. And I, first off, would make them hit off everything individually because you take the computer out of automation, so you get back to the feel of feeling radio. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, I'm going to make all this money. And well, hold on a second. When I started radio, I made 14.5 or 13.6 my first year, which, you know, I was married and all sorts of things. That's not a lot of money to be making. That's poverty-level money.
Yeah.
Look, if you stick to it and you are good, you can make money in this business. No question. But again,
small percentage,
small percentage. Yeah. And getting into it now thinking you're going to do that, it's a pipe dream, man. And that's a shame. And again, that goes right back to what this is. Yeah. If you got the drive, you got the passion, it's not about voice, it's not a radio thing, it's just passion. Mm-hmm. Just wanting to do something and wanting to excel at it.
Yeah.
And we talked about the fact that you can go out and get equipment and do this tomorrow.
Yep, $150 my whole setup cost me, my whole rig here.
Exactly.
So that's all you need.
So, you know, those of you trying to get into radio, don't.
That was funny. If you're just joining us, Jesse Cage, longtime Tampa Bay broadcaster, now doing the FNK podcast, is joining me this week. That was one of the pieces of advice that Mike Calta had for me, which was, hey, I want to do radio. What do I do? And he said, don't. Mm-mm. And I was like, well, okay, I'm not going to do that. I have to do this.
Right.
I don't know what else to do.
Sure.
So, and I talked to him probably a couple years ago now. He sat and talked to me for a long time and gave me these contacts. I had an interview. It was pushing, I think, being a pest and being assertive, and I was walking that fine line.
Yeah, but you have to in that business, man.
Right, and that's what John Brennan told me, too. He's like, I hear you, and, you know, that usually works out for people. But then after a year, I was like, okay, this isn't going to happen. And that's when I started taking this podcast thing more seriously.
Sure.
I had a roommate who we kind of would just make fart jokes with. He had a baby, so it was just me, and I was like, well, that was fun, I guess, while it lasted. I guess this is over with. And I said, well, I could do this on my own, I guess. This is what I want to be doing.
Right.
And then, so he left. I was left by myself. My life is not entertaining enough to cover 45 minutes. So that's when this format took form.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been going well. You know, the Tampa Bay area has a lot of talented people in it. Mm-hmm. Doing the comedy stuff, man, I meet so many people doing that.
Sure.
There's a lot of comedians here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just getting to meet people is really great. And that way you get to network, too, which is awesome.
That's the biggest part of this.
Yeah.
You got to network. You've got to network. And luckily, through radio, we were able to do that for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
But now we get to share that. That's what I'm excited about. That's why I'm excited that we're teaming up and we do these type of things, because now we can share all those connections and share that network and just blow it up, mm-hmm. you know?
What's the turnover rate? Like, is there anybody that you know at 97X or 98 Rock that is still even there? Because it's one of those businesses where you have to travel. Mr. Mayor, mm-hmm. Mr. Rick, mm-hmm. Mayor Rick was in here, and he was in broadcasting school. He was on in Gainesville.
Okay.
And the reason he didn't pursue it was because he didn't want to travel.
Right.
So he became a lawyer instead.
Yeah, when you get into the business, it is definitely... If you want to succeed at it, you have to be able to move around until you find that spot. You know, Tampa became that spot for me, luckily. But I'm fortunate enough that I was able to stay in Florida at least for my entire career. I started in West Palm, then Miami, then back to West Palm, then Tampa. So I was very fortunate to stay here. I have no guys who I've worked with in the past who are their sixth station and sixth state in. And I couldn't do that. That's just not...
Yeah, especially if you have a family or something.
Right, and they've uprooted their family multiple times to do that. As far as who's still around here, I mean, there's still people that I worked with who are actually doing pretty well for themselves right now. Phoebe, who is over on Hot, she was one of my interns.
Mm.
Obviously, I've known Seth over there as well. Because I worked with them when I was at X, and Fisher and Boy were over there. So they're still around. I don't talk to anybody from 98 Rock for, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a few people over there that I know, though, and that given the opportunity, I'd still be friendly with. But there's some I wouldn't as well.
Yeah.
But,
well, it's kind of seems like it's one of those cutthroat businesses.
It really is, man.
You have to, you know, lie, cheat, and steal almost to get your way to the top.
Right. And if you just feel like you're doing a good job and doing your job and staying in your lane, there's still the appearance. People are going to push an appearance on you of what they think you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You get in somebody's way, and I use air quotes, you know, you get in somebody's way, then they're going to try to take you out.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was never into the cutthroat side of this business. I wasn't about tearing other jocks down. The only people I ever took shots at on the air would be Shark, and he knew it because mm-hmm. I was pissed. I woke up every day wanting 97X to go out of business.
Can you talk about that at all? Like what happened?
At X?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it on the podcast earlier when we first started the F&K. We actually had Shark on, and we did the whole expose on what happened for him as well as Fisher, because we were both fired by him. I was told one thing. I was told when I came over that I would be getting a certain shift. But do this first for now, and we'll work it all out. I was kind of pulled back and forth. It was, okay, we're going to give it to you. No, we're not. Yeah, okay, you're good. No, we're not going to. And I was just getting more and more frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And finally one day I said that, I go, if we don't get to where we're talking about getting to, then I can't do this anymore. I just can't be pulled back and forth. I'll go someplace else, knowing in the back of my head that 98 Rock already wanted me because they already approached me. But I was loyal. I was loyal to 97X because I was told that I was going to get something specific, and it just didn't happen for whatever reason. So I was brought in, and I was told they're going in a different direction. And I was like, all right, great.
So you had a job lined up, so you weren't like, oh, my God.
I had the idea of the job was lined up. The initial conversations were already had, but I was still so loyal to 97X because I was loyal to Shark. You know, Mike was a good friend of mine, so I was very loyal to them. And I didn't feel that loyalty back.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it came that one asshole over there who wears a suit didn't like me, and it trickled down from there. And then all, because I spoke up about, hey, guys, let's figure out what we're going to do here, or I'm going to have to move on, then I'm insubordinate. You know, so that's where that, and I'm like, okay, hang on a second. I'm just asking for what I was told I was going to get. And my father taught me a long time ago, you are nothing but your word. And if you give your word to somebody and you don't follow through on that, now, look, there's circumstances, things happen, that's fine, but have a conversation. Don't, it doesn't just turn into this all of a sudden, well, we're going in a different direction.
Yeah.
All right. So then, you know, go to 98 Rock, which, listen, getting fired from 97X is the best thing that ever happened for my career. You don't see it at the time, but it was the best thing. I mean, I went to 98 Rock, and I became a much bigger personality than I ever had been in my entire career. Mm-hmm. I was brought to 98 Rock to do a job, to do afternoons, to help rebuild that station. Because when I went there, we're 6 months away from 98 Rock going away. Now, I would never in a million years say I'm the reason 98 Rock didn't go away. The team that James Howard, that Double Down put together, Double Down's the reason that station didn't go away. He was smart enough to go, okay, I can put this team together. And we had the morning show, which kind of went back and forth, but it was very stable with Big Rig and myself doing middays and afternoons. And we went from the gutter to first place. All of us. It wasn't just me, not just Rig, not just... We came together as a team, and in light of, at the time, The Bone and 97X trying to squeeze us out, their job, they were, I've had people in that building, everybody knows somebody somewhere, and they told them that their jobs were to squeeze us out. And we said, F that, and succeeded in spite of everything. And then Double Down left. He was no longer our boss. He went to D.C., and he's doing great things in D.C., Killebrew was the boss for a while there. Killebrew was a great dude. Mike Killebrew is one of my favorite people in this entire world. He was let go. They fired my co-hosts. They fired Lauren. They didn't renew her contract, so she was gone. And I just saw the writing on the wall. Everything's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And it was from all the success we had, how we were successful is we, it was like old school. It was old school 98 Rock. It was F the system. We're going to do this in spite of, you know, all of you. It doesn't matter. We've got this going on. And 98 Rock, unfortunately, has become incredibly, it's always been corporate because it's a corporate company. But that edge that 98 Rock had 6 years ago, 7 years ago, when we really were pushing the limits on certain things, that's what made us successful. And it just became so bland and so vanilla, so... like I said, they offered me a contract. Like, it would have been a year and 3 months ago this week. They offered me a contract, and I couldn't do it. Sure, I could have stayed and made money and good endorsements and everything else. But at 38 years old, it's not about the money exclusively mm-hmm. anymore. Yes, I want to make money. Who doesn't? I want to live. I want to live comfortably. Mm-hmm. But I walked away from a lot there to go to CBS, trusting CBS was, you know, going to keep me for a while, but then obviously things happened with Beasley and the whole swap happened. But
that almost seemed like it was like a hostile takeover almost. That's the vibe I got, because when I followed you on Twitter even before before I knew you, but and you were like, you know, keep looking, staying positive,
yeah,
you know,
man.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, stop, I'm sure you'll have a job real soon. And you're like, oh, well, let me know where, because I don't know. I'm like, okay. But sure enough, you know, once that they released that format for 98.7 with mm-hmm. all Bubba,
right.
I was like, oh, maybe he's right.
Right.
And sure enough, I mean, then you kind of got steered with Fish and then
yeah.
started the podcast.
Well, I think one of the biggest shocks in that building at CBS, now Beasley, was I'm not doing afternoons at 98.7. It was, as far as anybody was concerned, it was a foregone conclusion. They'll put Bubba in the morning and they'll put me on the afternoons. Mm. It made sense.
That's what I thought.
You know, why that didn't happen, I've heard multiple things, multiple reasons. And I'm not saying it could never happen. Who knows, man? I'm not shutting the door. I've known Bubba. We've corresponded multiple times. I've seen him out at gigs. You know, I think that station is incredibly, I'm going to say this.
It's new. It's a new format, right?
You know what? Yeah. But I don't like the direction. I love, you know, Bubba does his thing in the morning, and either you love Bubba, you don't. I don't give a shit. That is what it is. He's not for everybody. I've got nothing bad to say about the guy. I do wish the whole him and Galta thing would just go away. It's lame and it's not good for radio. It, you know, the war thing is so.
It's on Twitter now, I think. I don't even know if it's on air anymore.
It's just, my God, you go on Twitter and they're like 12-year-old girls going back and forth. I can't even wrap my head around, like, what a waste of energy and time going back and forth and back and forth. Who cares? Do your job. Do it well, and let the ratings speak for themselves. Again, this is not, Calta, I've known Mike we sat next to each other at Raw the other night. I mean, I have no problem with these guys. I have a problem with it becoming all about them. It's me. Ah, Bubba, Calta, shut up.
Yeah.
Honestly, make it about your listeners. And I think that you'd be better off. Now, I can't argue with their success, and that's fine. They'll be successful. They'll go back and forth in the ratings. As far as what 98.7 needs to do, they need to get some jocks on that radio station. Voice tracking Manson and, you know, 25 Cent or whoever they're doing throughout the day over there is stupid. Mm-hmm. And it shows. The ratings are terrible for 98.7 outside of mornings. Mornings is kicking ass.
Mm-hmm.
Anything outside of that, it's just, I don't know if it's just too much of a good thing or too much of one thing, you know, depending on how you look at it. But just spinning bits over and over and over again and throwing some tunes in there is just, that's, people want to connect.
Yeah.
And they're not going to connect with somebody who is just, you're recording every show and one guy is just fake. that's lunacy to me.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they're doing it and we'll see how long that can last, because with mornings doing as well as it's doing over there and Bubba doing as well as he's doing, they'll be fine.
So the real winner, though, at this feud is Orlando, right, at 94.1.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's number one now, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or yeah, because the audience got so fragmented that Orlando, who was always just a little bit behind there when those guys are going at it, people are tired. People get so tired of the same crap. And again, when you are just attacking somebody else – And that's their MO. That's been their thing. Fine. It's 2015.
Yeah. I don't think it's ever going to end, though. Those guys do not like each other. I don't even think it's I think a lot of it is for the radio, because they think it's
entertaining. Absolutely it is.
But it seems like that those guys have a lot of history, and who knows what the real story is, and I don't think anybody will ever really know.
Right.
It was entertaining. I loved it for the first couple weeks. But then I would feel the same way. I don't listen to morning radio. I'm usually not awake for morning radio. So, I used to listen to Mike in the afternoons, but now I don't listen to anything anymore.
I can't, even again, going back to the Twitter thing, I just can't, that's so much energy.
I know, for busy guys,
right. Yeah. That's just so much energy for what? It's 12-year-old girls. Knock yourself out, man. I mean, I don't answer trolls on Twitter.
Nor should you.
What's the point?
That's what they want, is the reaction.
Them.
Yeah.
Who cares? Ah, you know what, Cage, you suck. Yeah, you're right, man. I suck.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Fine. You know? Oh, you said this, that, and the other. You're gay. Right. Sure. Absolutely, man. If that's what's fine.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Right.
You know? But you see, and it's not just Mike and Todd. It's all around you see these celebrities answering these people on Twitter, and just you're just feeding right into it. It's just silly. You don't have to have the last word when the first word sucked.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, just it's a simple block button. You just hit that block button, they're gone.
They just go away. Yep, they go away.
That's it. That egg is gone.
Oh, that guy blocked me. Good, good. Tell all of your friends, please. And then send them to the FNK so they can, you know, bitch about it.
Yeah,
fine. Fantastic. Yeah.
So if you're just joining us, Jesse Cage, longtime Tampa Bay broadcaster, now co-host of the FNK podcast, is joining me. So let's get back to this podcasting thing in this next few minutes. What has been the obstacles that you've been finding along this new journey in this new world for you?
Monetizing. Monetizing even good numbers, it's hard to monetize. because it's so new, because people are scared. People don't understand, oh, what is a podcast? That's the next big stumbling block, educating people as to what we're doing. Oh, you're on the radio.
Kind of.
I mean, technically, if you have Stitcher in your car or iTunes or whatever, sure, I'm on your radio. Those are the two biggest sticking points. The other stuff for us, it's natural. Everything has come so natural for us because we've had microphones in our faces forever. We've got some really great equipment that makes us feel like comfortable and home with the equipment we're using. But figuring out what equipment we were going to use, that was a huge hurdle when we started. You know, we're going to sit here and we'll just talk on our iPhones, I guess. We'll figure it out.
That's how I started.
Right, and just go from there. But having friends in the business with a technical savvy have been able to help steer us in the right direction as far as what we could use and not use. And now we've got a new studio that we're building currently.
In the Crest building,
The Crest building,
that's
yeah.
That's awesome, man.
So hopefully we'll be in there. Well, Friday, maybe this weekend. Maybe. It's the renovations are coming along, so hopefully within the next week we're going to be in that building. And once that happens, I think it's hard outside of Mark Maron, who's going to have the president come into his living room or mm-hmm. his garage or whatnot. Podcasting is a hard sell because it's hard to legitimize, I think, in some people's eyes.
Yes.
Because we do this in a kitchen. And, you know, we recorded our show today in my kitchen. Mm-hmm. When you want to have bigger interviews, the interviews that are going to hit,
yep.
you know. I know I could call Chris Jericho and have him on my podcast in my apartment tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. That's fine. But it'd be cooler if... when the boys are in town, when Wyndham is in town and Bray Wyatt and all these guys, you know, we have a cool appearance. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you get into a actual office and it's your office, it adds a legitimacy to what you're doing. And then they tell their friends and they tell their friends and they tell their friends that this is real.
Yes, I agree. I think our studios are getting built for Radio St. Pete. No one really tells me anything, but
right.
I'm stoked to have like that, to have that feel, even though I don't know what it's going to look like. I have a picture in my head, of
right.
course, and it's not going to look anywhere near that. But it's still, like you said, because I had a chance to get Jim Florentine in mm-hmm. here, a comedian. And once I was like, it's at my apartment.
Right.
They were like, we're going to pass on this one, but, you know, thanks a bunch.
Right.
But I did the work, you know, found the contacts, everything that
sure.
I needed to do. And I actually just got a Google phone line working.
We're just talking about that's going to be a part of our new studio.
Dude, so. It sounds great. It
nice.
Runs through the mixer. Like, it doesn't run through, so they're using my laptop speaker to hear me, so it sounds like I'm in a barrel.
Right.
But when it's recorded and pumped out,
sounds good.
Crystal clear.
Nice,
it sounds
man. Nice.
Yeah, so I'd definitely get on that for
cool.
sure.
Cool. Yeah, it's part of the build-out, so.
Yeah, right on.
Get that done. But yeah, I can't wait to be in that studio to where we get back into when we were at Janus, it was easy. We were on the improv loop, so when people are coming through there, they would just pop in.
Stop by, yeah.
But again, it's a studio, so right. it's easy to say, come to my studio.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Instead of come to my house.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Jesse, I hate to do it, man, but we're just about out of time.
Oh, I only said the F word once.
Yeah, you had an A-hole in there, too.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
You got some good ones in. You got some good licks. I'll have to do some editing for this one. But, hey, man, I appreciate you coming in.
Well, it's a pleasure, man.
Give me your social media and stuff so people can find you.
Yeah, hit me at Jesse Cage on Twitter. That's Cage with a K, J-E-S-S-E-K-A-G-E. You can also get me on the Instagrams at Jesse Cage. Facebook.com/TheFNK Podcast. You can get us on there as well, or just FisherAndCage.com.
Very good, Jesse Cage. Thank you, man.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate you, man. Check out Sly Bar, open mic this Tuesday, 2061 Central, SlyBar.com. And Angelo's, 536 First Avenue North, StPizza.com. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.